Melachim Beis Perik Yud Zayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ki kara Yisrael me'al beis David. After all of these terrible sins that we have listed and enumerated now, a summary of what all of that says. Because Yisrael had torn away from upon the house of David. Notice, not nikrad, not they were torn away. They tore themselves away. It's an active verb. They tore away, and that's a violent verb as well. To tear, to rip something that wasn't meant to be ripped, to permanently divide it and split it and ruin all of the threads that used to connect the garment. Perhaps that's one of the reasons Hashem always used a torn cloak as a symbol of the melucha being torn. Because a torn cloak you can sew back together, but you can always see the stitches. It's not meant to be sewn back together. There are isurim for somebody who sits Shiva, lo aleinu, where when they tear their clothing for their parent, it's not supposed to be repaired. Even if you have only the one shirt, there are all kinds of questions halachically, because the mourning is meant to be observed in such a great and permanent manner. Vayamlichu es Yeravam ben Nevat, and they crowned Yeravam ben Nevat. No question here. God did not crown him, although the Nevuah came to Achiah HaShiloni that he would be king. But there's absolutely no question that they threw off the yoke of Beis David, and instead they crowned Yeravam ben Nevat, who really had no birthright to be king. Vayadach Yeravam es Yisrael me'acharei Hashem. And Yeravam, vayadach, is often translated as he led them astray from following God. Dichui usually means to push, I believe. But the concept here is that he kind of pulled them or led them astray from behind God. After all, he made the two golden calves. So even now at the end of Yisrael, Yeravam ben Nevat never escapes direct blame. So when the Talmud tells us in Sanhedrin that Yeravam ben Nevat lost his chelik in Olam Haba, this is how bad you have to be to lose a chelik in Olam Haba. You have to be the one who for 2.5 centuries constantly gets blamed for the chet, for the sin, the great sin, chata agadolah, that dragged 80% of Yisrael off the right and proper derech. Of course, they bear some blame for being dragged so easily, but it's Yeravam who gets all of the direct blame as the instigator and as the one responsible. Chalf Beis Vayelchu Bnei Yisrael B'chol Chatos Yeravam Asher Asa, not the Chatos of the Knanim, but the Bnei Yisrael went in all the sins of Yeravam that he made. So the fish stinks from the head. Our leaders bear a great deal of responsibility. In Marxist history, the fad is to say that everything is from the bottom up and it's the lower classes that make their own fate. But the problem is history is absolutely littered with terrible leaders who make terrible mistakes and their people follow them. The idea of individual agency is de-emphasized by Marxist class theory because it says what you do doesn't matter. It's not your fault. It's economic and historic forces at play. But the Nach never believes that. The Nach says we all make our own responsibility decisions with free will. We're all responsible for them, I meant to say. And what you do has consequences. These are the sins of Yeravam, not the sins of the Knanim, not the sins of the Goyim that we were emulating. Lo saru mimena. And they never diverged from these sins. Once they got on the bad path, they ran down it. They tumbled headlong into the world of Avodah Zarah without ever turning back. Don't get your kids the internet. Chav gimel ad asher heisir Hashem es Yisrael me'al panav. Repetition. Until Hashem set aside Yisrael from before his face, as we mentioned before, that's a sign of estrangement. That's a sign of casting somebody away. Kasher diber biyad kol avodav ha-Nevi'im, just as he had spoken in the hand of all of his servants, the Nevi'im, the prophets. And Treyasar, so many prophets in the northern kingdom trying to get them on the straight and narrow after almost 2 centuries of Avodah Zarah. You would think that that would make some kind of an impact, but it just made the Jews more aggressive in ignoring them. And that's why the metaphors become more and more graphic. The Amos metaphors, marrying a Zona, the Sotah wife, who is a harlot, who cheats on her husband. That's us. We are the gadabout. We are the ones parading our nakedness, as it says in Eicha, before our lovers and our illicit relationships, and eventually being forced to parade our nakedness in shame and disgrace in front of passers-by nations that shake their heads. Lo aleichem kol ovrei derech. A big chunk of the first parak of Eicha really harps on these images that had been told to Malchus Yisrael for more than a century before that Churban ever occurs. Vayigal Yisrael me'al admoso ashura. And so Yisrael was exiled. Vayigal, galus, golat. They were exiled, or Israel was exiled from its land to Ashur. Ad hayom hazeh, says Yirmiyah, until this very day. And we could argue even until our very day, because the 10 tribes just melted away. There were stories over the centuries. African tribes that claimed to be the 10 tribes, Asian peoples that claimed to be descendants of the 10 tribes, American Indians Native Americans, identified as potential 10 tribes. No way to know. Benjamin of Tudela told the story of an African tribe where they would divorce each other by stepping out into the town square and saying, "You're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced," three times. They had some Judaic traditions, but that was not a real get. And as such, they all had to be essentially assumed to mamzeros because of this behavior. When you leave the tribe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very hard to come back once you assimilate into the ways of the world around you.